Last week, we tried to preach on from servants to friends, and we read over there to do Jesus' first miracle, where he turned the water into wine. And the mother told the servants, said, you do whatever he says to do. And then we read from chapter 15 in John, where he said, henceforth I call you no longer servants, I call you friends. And we tried to talk about Abraham and Lazarus and a few others that God had called friends. And I thought we was pretty much done with that, but last week, I thought sometime during the sermon, I would mention something, and I never did. And I couldn't let go of that all week. And that just kept wearing on me, so I just guess we're going to have to go a little further with it. I don't always promote country songs, but I have mentioned a few of them. But Tracy Lawrence sung a song once. He said, you'll find out who your friends are. And he said, they'll say what's in it for me or it's too far. And you'll find out who your friends are. So I tried to talk a little bit about that just a little bit last week about Jesus has always been a friend to me. Ever since I met him, he is my best friend. He really is. I love my wife. I do. And here on earth, she's the best friend I've got. And then I've got all of you I consider really good friends. But he is my best friend. And I tried to get at this a lot last week is I want to be his friend. And I want him to consider me a friend. And I had a lot of friends in my life. I don't know about y'all. When I owned my call to preach, I found out who a lot of my friends was. On my call to preach, a lot of them went a different direction. They didn't come around no more. But I made more friends that really have stuck with me. And that song he talks about, they were breaking down beside the road, getting in a ditch, and you call, and you begin to call. Everybody says, if you need me, holler. Don't we all say that? No, if you need me, holler. But if you ain't careful, a lot of the ones that tell you that, when you holler, it's always something going on, ain't it? But there is a few people in your life that I believe that I could call, no matter if it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and they was in California, and I was here, and I needed them. They would hop our plane. They'd do whatever they had to do to get to me and help me. And there's so many times through my life that I mentioned last week, I can't help it. You know, when I'm working for the Lord, I'm always thinking, well, you know, there's going to be rewards for this. We can't help that. When we got saved, we was thinking about going to heaven and avoiding hell. There was something in it for us. But when it really gets down to it, when we don't care what's in it for me, and no matter how far, Lord, if you want me to go to Africa, I know men today, it ain't just Abraham and Lazarus that I believe is his friends. I know some brethren that just been willing to pack up and just hop on a plane and go wherever because they truly were friends to him. And he called on them and said, I need you, and this is where I need you. And they was willing to go. And I just can't say that I've always been that way, but I want to take a little reading lesson from the book of Ruth. And then I love this book, and I've read these scriptures before, while back, hadn't been in a couple months, maybe I preached on steadfastly, but I want to read here about Naomi and Ruth. and how Naomi, Ruth loved Naomi. And she wanted to be close to her. And I believe she considered her a friend. And in the sixth verse, we know that, they'd come there. There'd been a famine in Bethlehem, Judah, and Elimelech and Naomi and their sons come there. And Elimelech and the two sons died. And then we find in the sixth verse, then there arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab that she had heard in the in the country of Moab, how the Lord had visited the people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her daughter-in-law and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-laws, they done left, they started the journey. And there's so many people that have start the journey with the Lord, and then they get to a point that they're ready to turn back. As soon as things get a little tough. But Naomi said unto her daughter-in-laws, go ye and return unto your mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you. Ye will have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in your house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? And turn again, my daughters, and go your way, for I am too old and I have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them and until they were grown, or would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it is grievous to me much for your sakes that you the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. And then she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods, and return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou judgest, lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And where thou didest diest, will I die. There I will be buried, and I will be buried, and then the Lord do to me and more also, if I might be put to death, that I might, but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly indeed to go with her, then often she left speaking unto her. And my thoughts in that, but death part thee and me. And Ruth loved Naomi so much. When we married, I married a couple yesterday evening. And in that, we always say, in death do we part. And the vows. And she, Ruth loved Naomi so much that she told her that death part you and me. So she loved her, and she was a friend to her, and she did not want to forsake her or leave her. She wanted to be where she was. And I begin to think about how the others, a sister or daughter in law, she went back. And there's so many times when things get a little tough. And I thought about the woman who had the daughter who was sick. And you say, well, the Lord would never tell us to go away. But that one woman, if you remember, she come to the Lord, and her daughter was really sick and with a foul spirit. And she asked him to heal her daughter. And he said, he talked to her about how that they was not to give the bread. He was there for the lost sheep of Israel. And that woman was so convinced to stick with him, because she knew how he could help her daughter. And I want you to know, when we get to the place, there's there's times in our life God never leaves us if you're His child. But there's times in life it seems like that the hedge has been let down and there's things going on around about us and it seems like the Lord is far from us. And if we're not careful, we'll turn and go the other way. And as soon as things get a little tough, we seem to want to quit. And I thought about over there once again in the Gospel of John and in that sixth chapter where the Lord told him, He said, if you don't eat of my body and drink of my blood, you'll have no part of me. And I believe that He was talking about spiritual there. But listen, there was a bunch of them that just turned and went just soon as it got a little tough. They were offended in it. And the Lord says, does this offend you? And there's been so many times in my life that when things get just a little tough, if I ain't careful, I'll turn back and go back to the world where I was when I was younger, Christian, and when I first got saved. There's so many times that when things got just a little tough, I was talking to a sister a while ago. She was talking to me and said, I want to be back later on, but when things get a little tough, we end up going back where we was. And that's how some of these was. The Lord said, does this offend you? So they ended up turning and going away. And I want you to know, a true friend will not walk off and leave you. And if you say you are His friend, if you claim you are His friend, when things get a little tough, when He lays a little something on you that's a little harder, the fire gets a little hot, when you get dipped in there and things get a little hard, don't give up and just walk away from Him. Because He called you for a reason. He can use you. He needs you. We say it all the time. He don't need us, but He does. He's called us out for a cause. We're to be the light of the world. A salt that don't lose its savor. I believe He needs us to love Him and care for Him. And when He calls, when He hollers, that we'll be there. That we don't just say these things, but when it comes down to it, here a while back, we was going to get those piano benches, those church pews, and listen, I've heard that all my life. You need me holler. I sent a text out, I hollered loud. I sent two or three texts out, and honey, there were several that told me I will. You remember those two sons that told their father, Lord, he asked them, he said, will you do these things? And one of them said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And other said he wouldn't. But then it went on, the one that said he wouldn't, guess what? He was the one that done it. He said, which one you think pleased the Father? Well, I hollered. I didn't say much hollering back. You'll find out who your friends are. You'll find out. Randall was there. This old man right here was there. You say, well, now, Brother Jeff, I was so-and-so, and I was so-and-so. Yeah, there was a lot of them made excuses. Oh, when they grabbed a hold of the plow, and you remember the ones that grabbed a hold and turned back? This ain't about me. What I'm saying is, if you'll forsake me, what will you do to Him? If you, when He hollers, if I holler and you're not willing, how will it be when it comes to Him? There's a bunch of heads dropping down in here. My wife's going to say, when we get out here, she's going to say, they're going to kill you. Well, they might. You might kill me. You might stone me to death. But He's going to find out who His friend is. If I'm not willing to tell you the truth, then I'm not worth my salt. So He goes on and He said, does this offend you? And from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away? Now I want you to listen who the one spoke up. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe, and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now Peter, he stood right up, hopped up, and volunteered, said, where else are we going to go? And truly, where else is it to go? The world don't have nothing for us. And Ruth knew that. She knew she had come under the wings of the Lord, and she did not want to go back. And I want you to understand today, if you're under His wings, there's nowhere else to go. But Peter, we find it later on, when Jesus told him the things he would have to suffer, and he said, I'll go with you, Lord. He said, though all men may be offended at you, I'll go. But guess what? When it come down to it, where did he find his friend at? He was sitting over in the campfire with the world, sitting there denying him to a point that he cursed him. He cursed him. I don't know that man. I don't know him. Quit asking me that. I don't know him. When his life was in his hands, when it come down and got serious, where was he? And then here come Christ and that cockcrow and they called out. And Peter saw his friend. And it said he went out and he wept. He said, I won't deny you. Where else am I going to go? But from that moment on, when he come, after he resurrected, and he come to the water down there, who jumped off the boat and swam to him? It was Peter. Honey, he learned his lesson. You'll find out where your friends are. Y'all pray for. Lord, there was a man named Job. Perfect. And I don't mean he was perfect in every way, but he was perfect serving the Lord. And Satan, he asked Satan, he said, have you considered my... He asked Satan, I said, What are you doing, Satan? He said, well, I'm traveling in and out of the earth, going to and fro. He said, if you consider my servant Job, a man that loved God, he prayed for his children daily and offered sacrifice for his children just in case they sinned. He was a friend to the Lord. And honey, and I want you to know there's time that the hedge is going to come down in your life, and that's when we find out who we are. And then you'll find out who your friends are. But listen, he said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, you've got a hedge about him. I can't touch him. And he lowered the hedge. And this man lost his children. He lost his everything. His wife turned against him. He lost all of his material things, his home, all. He lost everything. But he wouldn't turn his back on God. His wife told him, said, just curse God and die. In the 11th verse of the second chapter, I mentioned this here a while back, and I'm going to read it to you. I didn't read it that night. He said, now when Job's three friends heard of all the evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz, the Tedemonite, and Baldad, the Shuahite, and Zophar, the Nemahathite. Now, I didn't get them right, I know. For they made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, they knew him not. This is the shape Job had got in. They didn't even recognize him anymore. And they lifted up their voice and wailed, and they ran every one his mantle, and they sprinkled dust upon their heads and toward heaven. And so they sat down with him and upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights. None spoke a word unto him, for they saw that he was grieved and was very great. And if as far as you ever read this, you'd think, boy, there were some good friends, wouldn't you? They heard about what this man had went through. And they said, they made a place, we'll meet here. And they come together and they said, well, we're going to go help Job. And it says, and I believe they was his friends. And they get there and they see the shape. They don't even recognize this man. Now, and they don't even talk to him to start with. They just pray and let him mourn. But you know what these friends start doing? They start investigating and questioning Job. Why has this happened to you, Job? What have you done, Job? And Job kept telling them he hadn't done nothing. And they just keep on, they won't let it go. They keep on to a point. They just keep driving and driving and driving. And you, at the end of this, you think they're enemies instead of friends. And you know how it finally got fixed? Job prayed for his friends. And when he prayed for his friends, God took care of all of it. Listen to me. You will find out who your friends are. You'll find out who really loves you, who cares about you. Every time when we hear something bad happening to somebody that's a servant of God, the first thing, if we ain't careful, we become Job's friends. What did they do? I guess, and you know something? I often think the same thing about myself. If something bad starts happening, you know what I do? First thing I do, I start having inventory. And you know something? There's been things that's been brought back to me from 30 years ago. I think about Josh and that whooping his daddy owed him. They was at church playing and acting up, and Josh wrestling and fighting or something outside. And his daddy, Marty, told him, he said, son, I'm going to give you a whooping when we get home. And they got home, and Marty forgot about it. And it went on for weeks, and they was up there putting a roof on a barn, nailing. And when something was said, nothing to do with that, but it brought his memory. He said, oh, you're whooping. They got down off the barn, and Josh, I tell you, he wore him out. He didn't whoop him out of anger. He whooped him out of being just. There's been times I have got whooped for things I've done, and sometimes it's been years later. But my friend never, he always reminds me what this is about. You see, Job kept searching it out. His friends were searching it out. Listen to me, but he won't let you get a whooping and not tell you what it's about. So Job hadn't done nothing wrong. And his friends, it seemed like they loved him. They all turned. Does that make you think of somebody that give up everything? You know anybody else that ever give up, that had everything and give it all up? And he come into his own. He come to ones, his friends, his family, the ones that supposed to love him the most. And guess what? What they start doing, they started trying to find something wrong with him. They searched him up and down all the way to Calvary, and they could not find one thing wrong with him, just like they could with Job. But listen, at the end, you know what they crucified him for? For saying he was the Son of God. That's the only thing they can find wrong with him. That was his friends, the ones he come to. He come to his family, not the one that woman was talking about. They said the bread was for them. He wasn't supposed to give the bread to the dog. That's what we was. He come to his friends, and his friends denied him.
And so did Job's friends. And then I thought, a band about a man named Apostle Paul. He was the one of those two brothers that said, I won't go. He didn't recognize him for who he was. He denied him. He's just like the rest of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because that's what he was. He had been taught by Gamaliel. He was a very wise man. He was crucified, persecuting Christians. And he had letters to go to Damascus to do it more. And the Lord brought him down there. Saved his soul. And you know what that man was willing to do? Whatever the Lord had him to do. Wherever he sent him, he never even took his life into account. He was willing to go. And we're going to go over and read just a little of that in a minute. But I've seen so many people. I told my wife one time, we was talking about a couple, and they was an example. They was. And I'd keep telling her all the time, I wish we was more like them. Because we wouldn't. I mean, they was that. They was what I wanted to be. I wanted to want to be. And then come find out they wasn't ever what we thought they was. Now, me and her are doing the work, and they're not. You'll find out who your friends are. If he called you today, or if you need me, here I am, just holler. I need you to go and do this. I need you to go and do that. If you hollered, would you be willing to go? I've been that guy. He collared. He said, carry my word. And you know where I headed? Right out the door. Hard as I could go. 8 years. Running hard as I could go. No, Lord, I won't. I ain't going to do it. I can't do it, and I'm not going to do it. I found out who he was. And he was a lot bigger than me. When I hear preachers especially tell me how they're going to, what they're doing and how good they're doing and where they're going and what all they're going to do, it scares me to death. Don't be so quick to say what you're going to do and what you won't do. And when you see your brother or sister fall, don't you be so quick to judge them and think that'll never happen to you. I know what that's like. I'm judged all the time. I ain't trying to make this about me, but my children are judged. We come up short all the time. I'm telling you, I'm not. Oh, y'all put me on some kind of pedestal growing up around Rocky Mount. They, all the older people thought I was the greatest kid ever lived. Because my daddy made me work. I had to work, and I'd help people. My daddy made me help them. I'd done all these things, and they thought I was great, but they didn't know half of the things I was doing. Listen, I ain't telling you I'm out in the world doing all these things, but I'm not everything. I'm just a man. And I fail, and I know I'm not a friend to him like I want to be. I want to be determined like Ruth. I want to be determined to go all the way. And even death, she said, let death part us. Death will not depart us from our friend. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 8, that even death, not even death, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us. But the only thing can is me. He's never walked away from me. But I have him over and over and over. The one hung on there for me. The one died for me. The one took my sin and took yours. How many times has he said, you need to unite with the church. I'm calling. I'm hollering. Why ain't you doing it? You need to go to an altar. You need forgiveness. Even if you've been saved, you still need to be forgiven. Lord, it's too far up there at that altar. Everybody's going to see me. You'll find out who your friends are. Paul was on his journey, and he was being warned by the Holy Spirit not to go. But that man was willing and bound to go. In the 20th chapter of Acts, he went and called for the elders of Ephesus. He told them, I've not failed to preach to you the whole count of God. He told them, I preached to you repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. And he preached the whole counsel. And the 22nd verse, he said, now, behold, I go up bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying, bounds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, for that I might finish my course with joy. What did we talk about last week? That you may be full of joy. And that in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel unto grace. And behold, now I know that ye among you, I have gone preaching the kingdom of God and see your face no more. Why I take you to record this day, I am Peter from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned declaring to you the whole counsel of God. He never even kept his, he knew he was ready to offer himself. He wasn't concerned about his life. He knew there was no blood on his hands. I want you to know this man was a friend to Jesus. He was willing, just like Ruth, to go all the way. He wasn't like Job's friends when it got down to it. All they wanted to do was find out what was wrong with Job. And we're no different. As sure as things get a little tough, we start asking him questions. Why is this happening, Lord? Why is this going on, Lord? Are you a friend to him? If he hollered, would you be there? If he called, would you come running? Everybody lied last week. They thought, boy, it could be great not being a servant, just being a friend. And it can be. But I want to tell you, if you're going to say you're a friend, you need to be willing to go the extra mile. Don't quit.
when it gets a little tough. The church moved last week to build on. Today it don't look like we need to, the amount of people we got here today. I got a feeling we're going to find out what we are. We're going to find out if we love Him and love the church more than we love the world, more than we love our fishing boats, more than we love our cars, more than we love everything else. Every one of us is going to have to give a little extra. If you're expecting two or three people to pay for this, then you're badly mistaken. All of us is going to have to pay for it. All of us. And that means me. I told my wife, we left here last Sunday from conference, I was about to have a nervous wreck. She said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I ain't ever been this much in debt." She said, "Well, it ain't you." I said, "Yes, it is. I've never been this much in debt. I'm scared to death. My pa went and bought a little extra small lamb one time. You know what that man done? My daddy said he didn't sleep for 2 weeks. He was a cheer maker. He made cheers day and night till he made enough to sell to pay for that piece of land. He would not rest till it was took care of." He was scared of being in debt. Are you scared of it? We're fixing to find out who our friends are. Because it'll always get tough through all this. It might be it get to the point that we don't have so much extra and we have to dig in and give a little extra. And it may get to the point and say, "Well, I'm ready to find somewhere else. It's getting a little tough over there." We're going to find out what we're made of. If you need me, holler. He's holler. He needs us. What's He need us to do? To carry the gospel into the world. He needs us to love lost people. He needs us to love His church. He needs us to love Him. He's holler. He's calling. What are you? When it gets a little tough, are you going to say, "We'll just turn, go to the..." You know why it said they went out from them? Over to John's Gospel, not John's Gospel, but John, the book of John says they went out from us because they never was a part of us. We're going to find out what we are in the next few years. So let's go making cheers. I'm not a cheer maker. I've been working free in the Hallelujah Chainsaw Shop for a while. But if you bring a chainsaw, I may have to start charging you something. We got to get it paid for. I want to be out of debt. You say, "Well, how did we end up there?" Well, that's where He ended us up. We'll find out what we're made of in the next few years. You'll find out, if I ain't careful, I'll find out today, and you will too, what you're made of. You'll have an opportunity to do the right thing. He told him, he said, "If you'll keep my commandments, that your joy might be full." And he said, "Henceforth, I call you no longer servants. I call you friends." Are you a friend of Jesus? I'll try to be done with that today. He's my friend. If you've ever been saved by God's grace, He's your friend. The question still remains, am I His friend? Are you His friend? That's the question. Would He say, "Our friend Lazarus is sick"? Would He say, "My friend Matt is sick"? "My friend Leanne is sick"? Our friend Josh is sick. Our friend Randall is sick. Our friend Barry, our friend Lisa is hurting. Would you be called a friend like Abraham was called a friend of God? When he was called, and you say, I didn't even get into that last week, but the Lord called him and he said, you get up to Mount Moriah. You take your son, your only son, Isaac. You offer him there. He was willing to go. I can't imagine that. He told him, he said, once, he said, and before that, he told him, he said, you rise up and you go to this other country and you leave all your family behind. Abraham could easily have said, that's too far. But he was willing to go. He took his son, got there. And I always think about this. I don't know about y'all, but when I read it, it brings tears to my eyes. And he lifted up his head and he saw far off. He saw that mountain, Mount Moriah, where he knew the sacrifices. I've been on that donkey with that man, don't tell me how many times. And I just see him lifting up his head. And he knows that's the place he's taking his son to take his life. And he gets there. And his son looks at him and he says, Father, and he said, here am I. He said, here's the sticks and here's the fire. But where is the lamb? And he looks at his son, his child, his boy, the one that the Bible said he loved. He found out what he was. See, that's what it was about Job. It wasn't proving to Satan what he was. It was just Job, proved to Job who he was. And it proved to Abraham who he was. He said, my son, God will provide a lamb. And he took his boy up there and he bound him and his son never fit him. He loved his father. He knowed what was going on. He tied him on that altar. He raised the knife up to slay his son. You'll find out. And heard a voice said, who caused no harm to thy son? And there was a ram hung in a bush over there. And God used that ram instead of his son. Listen to me. We will find out what we're made of. And because of that, James said, and Chronicles both said, the Bible said, that Abraham was called the friend of God. When he hollered, Abraham was willing. Obedient. That's what that's called. Obedient to the word of God. So henceforth, you can be called, you're obedient. You can be called the friend of God. That's my message. I'm done.